You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Finish the job. No.
What?
They're not a threat to me, so why do I need to kill them?
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody. We are back.
いらっしゃいません.
ありがとうございます.
Jeff is back from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And I am back from Seattle.
Yes. I'm a little jet lagged, but I am surviving. I come back to this hot, hot state. My gosh.
Right back into
it.
The thick.
I literally hate it.
It feels like summer, and that's no exaggeration. It is hot in this kitchen. But you know what? Speaking of kitchens, in Hell's Kitchen. Did you see that coming?
That's nice.
I was like, let me find a segue.
Love that.
We have a brand new Daredevil Born Again season 2 teaser.
Woo!
And other snippets have been dropping left and right in preparation for this new season, which debuts officially on Tuesday, March 24th. That
Crazy.
Is this coming week, my friends.
I know.
If you're listening
that's
to
nice.
This right
actually,
now.
That's actually nice. I like that. I'm coming back and I'm like, oh, there's
Daredevil.
Something coming out?
Yeah. A little nugget. And as far as we know, it's a weekly episode release frequency because, you know, Disney Plus wants to milk those subscriptions.
Yeah.
They want you to watch every week. And it is kind of telling about how they release other series because Wonder Man was a full series drop.
Yes.
And now they're doing weekly again.
Yes.
So I'm like, ah, you guys. But we're here for Daredevil. So I know I'm going to be tuning in. In related news, my pal 100% Soft, aka Truck Torrance, has also released a new slew of stickers you can use on social media,
Woo!
As well as pins and everything. He's done everything. So he also made Wonder Man stuff.
Hmm.
He did this Daredevil drop just the other day, and he also just released a Ghost Rider dumpster fire. So I showed that to Jeff earlier. I was like, this is adorable.
Unfortunately, I was like, why is this so cute?
It's so cute. So check out his shop for more stuff. And in full correlation with all things Marvel, Rivals has also released a black Born Again inspired costume for Daredevil in the shop, which reflects battle damage. So when you're playing him, it gradually turns red, like it scrapes away, I guess. I haven't used him yet. I don't have the suit yet, but I'm about to get it. And it just looks so cool. So I'm like, okay, here we go. The marketing is flowing. The promos are on high and it's go time. And speaking of Rivals, I attended the fan event the other week while we were in between our travel, right before we both departed. Great time. The voice actors were obviously the stars of the show, and the key players from the game's development team in China flew in to be in attendance.
That's right.
Including the iconic Guang Guang, who is the guy, he's the creative director. He's always in every single video that they release. As well as Danny Koo, who is executive producer of Marvel Games, and more, including live performances of the songs from the game. So I took a lot of footage. I mean, I've been so busy, I haven't been able to upload and edit stuff, but I will post like the live performances on our YouTube channel in full, and then some clips of the voice actors, because it's really cool. So be on the lookout for that, and be sure to follow us there too. Not to mention, earlier this week, they finally revealed the latest season details, which includes new characters, White Fox, and the infamous and long-awaited Black Cat. So she's finally coming to the game. They have not totally revealed her status, but she's probably a duelist if leaks prove correct. So I know what I'll be doing for the next few weeks, aside watching Daredevil. But, Jeff, the biggest ticket on today's news is obviously, and also aside from Jeff coming back, this is also the reason why we decided to record a day later than we usually do, is because the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer finally arrived, and in a very interesting fashion. I don't know, Jeff, were you tuned into every single clip, or were you like,
yeah, it was popping up for me. So whatever I saw, and you know, just seeing the public react to it.
Very cool. Yeah, so they for those who don't know, they tapped into worldwide fans, had them release very, very short clips.
Yeah.
2 to 4 seconds max.
Yeah.
In conjunction with a fan-made video. Pretty cool marketing. Some people really hated it because they're just like, just release the trailer.
Yeah.
But the whole point is to get the buzz going, and they achieved that. So well done to them. But the trailer itself is, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I'm sure we could talk about it for a long time. We did earlier in text messages. But I mean, honestly, I've loved every single trailer, at least from the Tom Holland era. I've loved every trailer, like, as much as the last. But this one, there's something about this one where I'm like, I am locked in. I don't know why all these things are happening, but
it feels different.
Really good. Yeah, and I can't get over the color grading alone. And this is a discussion that many people are actually talking about, because tonally, it feels less comic-y, but in a good way.
Yes.
You know, like Spider-Man films have always been known for their vibrance and their contrast, but this one's a little darker. He's obviously so bright in most of it, but the rest of the environment feels so much more real in a strange way.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, but I love it. Do you have any favorite moments from the trailer?
The swinging is really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw something earlier because, you know, as Spider-Man fans tend to do, they compare all the Spider-Men and people were being like, oh, Maguire's is better, or, oh, you're never going to beat the swinging from Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield. But, spoiler alert, the man or the person that was in charge of the animation sequences for this film is the same person that did Amazing Spider-Man 2. Mm. So all of the amazing swinging that you saw Andrew Garfield doing, that person is now working on Brand New Day.
Wow.
So we actually kind of won. We got the best of all worlds, really. So, yeah, I love all the comic book nods that we've already seen.
Oh, I know. The covers.
They're so cool.
The comic book cover montage.
Yeah, it's great. And somebody pointed out today, like, oh, they even did the meme where he's like, he's holding his head and his skull. And I was like, oh, yeah, they actually did do that, too, which is pretty funny. And yeah, there's a lot going on. But this is a rare instance where I didn't feel like there's too much. Like, I didn't feel like I was getting lost in the sauce. It felt like, okay, there's a lot happening in this film, but I also can't wait to see this because it looks really good. So I'm curious, one, how long it's going to be, and two, how all these events come to pass.
Yeah.
And in what order. Daredevil ends in May with the timing of the releases.
And or so, after season two, it could be too.
Yeah, it feels like it should be after, but I'm not 100% sure. Because, you know, someone mentioned how Fisk's assistant is in the trailer and how that's a huge spoiler because last we saw, they had their altercation in season one. And so it's kind of like, okay, is she the mayor now? Like, what's happening?
Or is she digitally replaced? I don't know.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Because we are already seeing there is digital removal of things. There is digital replacement of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So don't trust the trailer for the final verdict. Yeah.
Just enjoy it. It's great.
Exactly. Like, just enjoy it. And yeah, so I can't wait to see who pops up and how it all comes together. But it's looking good, so be sure to check that out if you have not yet for some crazy reason. And so all that said, let's dive into this episode's character study.
Woo!
But first, reminder, we're not experts. We don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out.
Yeah.
And in this episode, we're nerding out about the century.
Century.
I don't even know like how.
I
century.
Know. I mean, you can talk. You can talk like Bob. It's Bob.
It's century. Bob. Century. century. It's the other guy. The
exactly.
Other guy. And so, as far as related episodes go for this character, check out our most recent Thunderbolts related episodes, specifically our film review, which was episode 107. And so when it comes to Sentry, he was created by Paul Jenkins, Jay Lee, and Rick Veitch. And his first appearance, funny enough, was The Sentry number one, September 2000.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I was telling All Jeff right. just before we recorded, I was like, Sentry is a more modern
that's
character.
That's a new character
yeah,
for
that's
sure.
New and not even remotely close to being because of the MCU.
Yeah.
He was just a new character.
Yeah.
And so this particular comic arc was released under the Marvel Knights banner. And so Marvel Knights itself is an interesting story because it's an imprint of the main Marvel Comics publisher that focused on standalone stories and notable high production qualities. And so the imprint also came at a very precarious time for Marvel because they had just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1998. So it was kind of like Marvel Comics was like, oh, we got to release some stuff that's really yeah. good. Let's try anything and everything. They're quite literally throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping they could come up from under.
Yeah.
And so here came this title, The Sentry. And so the issue title itself is The Sentry, Act One, The Suit. Hmm. So 2000. Guess
I mean,
the cover
price. This is probably even worse. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. I gave you a hint a while ago. Like,
yeah.
I was like, once you hit a certain time, it's up. It's in
and
the 199s.
That's the thing, too, where I'm like, how expensive are comics?
Right.
At that time, it's like, are they doing for like $5?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going for like 7 to 10? And I'm like, that feels like a lot for like an issue that, at that time.
They did exist. Like, if they were deluxe or doubles.
Yeah. I'm thinking like this one. I'm thinking between like 3 and 6, but it's like, yeah,
2000s.
Exactly.
The height of pop music.
Yeah, but I'm also it's like it's not like the 60s or 70s where it's sure. gonna be like 12, 15
yeah,
a quarter.
No, definitely not.
I'm just gonna ballpark it. I'm gonna say like 450.
High.
That's high.
That's high.
Damn. Okay. I didn't want to go too low.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Is it 3?
It is 3. It is $2.99 for this issue. Mm. And so here's the cover. This is when they they started to pull the price off of covers.
Uh-huh.
And so this cover in particular is from the trade. But imagine, if you will, the box comic book corner. So the corner would just have number one and then Marvel Comics on it. They stopped putting the price on it. So it's kind of like if you were a kid and you brought this comic up to the register.
Yeah.
How much is this? Like, you don't know until they ring it up.
Sucks.
Yeah, and so it was $2.99 when it first came out. And so as far as finding this issue online for purchase, the highest graded I found was a CGC 9.8 signature series signed by Jay Lee, the artist. And it's going for $499. While on eBay, there is also a CGC 9.8 signature signed by Jay Lee, suspiciously enough. I personally think it's the same copy that someone's trying to hawk for two different prices, because the one on eBay is $2,500. So there's something wrong there. Because Yeesh. One is $500 and the other is $2,500. It's five times as much. But I'm pretty sure it's the same person.
Okay.
Which is messed up. But this is why you go to Shortboxed. And as far as the lowest graded is concerned, CGC 9.4 signature series with a remark by Jay Lee on the cover is going for $500. I also believe this is the same seller. While on eBay, a CGC 7.0 is going for a mere $140. But let me tell you, friends, if it's a book within the 2000s, don't go for anything under 9.0. It's just silly. The book isn't even 26 years old yet, you know, technically.
Yeah.
So 7.0 is pretty harsh. They must have put that thing through the ringer. But fair market value, 250 to 300 bucks is pretty much what you're looking for. Anything raw, $75 or more. And as of this year, there are apparently 126 registered grades of this comic on CGC. And they're 9.8 or lower. No 9.0s or 10.0s exist of this book, which is like, wow.
Yeah.
So no one got the book and immediately graded it. They kind of loved it for a while or just...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Got a copy that was like whatever, which is very interesting, and it is an interesting thing to note. So, first exposure to this character.
I mean, it has to be Thunderbolts.
Really?
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
I mean, you probably heard it of, like, comparing, like who's MCU Superman. It's probably, you know.
Yeah.
Probably, but most likely it's Thunderbolts for me.
Yeah, I vaguely remember when Thunderbolts first got mentioned, like, they were announcing it at all. I remember seeing the lineup, and I asked you in an episode, I was like, do you know who Sentry is? And you were like, no, and I was like, Marvel has a Superman, basically is what he is. And so, yeah, it's not too surprising that a lot of people will just be exposed to him through Thunderbolts because, again, he's from 2000. It's not like he's had a decades and decades of character lore to go through. He's relatively new, all things considered. For me, as I was telling Jeff just before we recorded, it dawned on me while I was rereading the comics, I was actually quite early in the Sentry game. I was already reading about him when he first came out. So while I didn't have the solo series, I was reading the Avengers comics that he was in. So I was like, oh, I didn't realize that he had just arrived.
Mm.
So that was kind of my first exposure to him. But yeah, I guess I've been with Bob since day one.
Bob.
Funny enough, yeah. And so when it comes to our mini book, we have Robert Bob Reynolds. Height 6 feet tall, 194 pounds.
Nice. He's lean.
Yeah, he's a lean boy. And so when it comes to his origin, according to this book, empowered by a variant of the super soldier serum, drug addict Robert Reynolds gained the power of 1,000 exploding suns and became the Sentry, a hero who unknowingly created his own arch enemy, the Void, from the dark side of Robert's personality. I mean, word for word, almost.
That's accurate.
It's the there's super
no,
soldier
there's
part.
No, there's no, it doesn't divvy anywhere else.
No, it's really just the super soldier part, because even then, it isn't that far off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was intended to become some sort of super entity in the MCU, but we will get to that shortly. And of course, before we get into this particular lore, just a warning that this episode does contain quite a few references to drug addiction and abuse. So there's your forewarning.
Yeah,
it kind of comes with the territory. He's a drug addict, so things are going to get a little dicey here and there. But Robert Bob Reynolds, once again, Sentry, the Void. He has two crazy subtitle nicknames, and we did this with Namor because he was like, God, I don't remember, like the King of Atlantis of the Seven Seas. And he's got all these monikers. And so for Bob, he is not only the Guardian of Good, which should sound familiar if you've seen Thunderbolts, but he is also indeed the man with the power of 1,000,000 exploding suns. And so these are the subtitles that they equip him with whenever he's mentioned in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
The Sentry, the man of the in true comic book form. And so when it comes to Bob's first appearance in Sentry number one, so it's very interesting because, again, this is the Marvel Knights comic. So things aren't as vibrant and colorful like the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer. It is much more abysmal, much more dark and gritty. And so imagine, if you will, dark and stormy night, crack of lightning, and Bob awakens from his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you kind of get the idea as a reader, nothing is right. And in fact, the first true narrative of dialogue in this book, he simply says, he's back. And it's Bob's thoughts, right? And so you're just like, okay, what the heck is going on here? It seems like a horror film. And despite the concern of his partner, Lindy, Bob begins a long string of internal dialogue, puzzle pieces, citing an incident. And even Bob seems uncertain about anything, like where, when it took place. He's just trying to put, he's trying to compose his thoughts and put them together and figure out why he's even concerned. And so despite the confusion, he finally identifies it, saying, "The void has returned." And Bob talking up the power of this void person or entity and what it possesses, and the only person who can save humanity is him. So it's like, okay, so this guy is kind of crazy. He's got a god complex.
Yeah.
Might be a narcissist, and he's also Delulu, is basically what they're introducing you to in these pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also very interesting because, though it's not like an important factor, this Bob is not the strapping young Lewis Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this Bob is kind of like in his 30s. He's kind of got a beer belly in some of the pages too, which is very interesting. And it all lends to the overall character. So the issue starts taking these back and forths with the art. And so this is the primary art style. It's very, again, gritty,
yeah,
dark. And then it goes through these compositions of bright and classic, uh-huh, where it's retelling the story of Bob becoming the sentry. They even go as far as to name him differently. And so they call him Robbie in the flashbacks. Like, wow. Oh, gee willikers. And like, even his dialogue is different. You can just hear the anxiety in his voice as regular Bob. And he's like, just go back to sleep. I need to let the dog out. Whereas when they do the flashback dialogue, gosh, this must be the professor's secret formula. And it looks like, you know, John Romita. It looks like an old classic comic, mm-hmm, book. And they use gosh a lot, which is really funny. And then you go back to reality and it's like, it's so different. It's just the polar opposite. And so they focus on this secret formula or the super serum and then the powers it then endowed him with. And so they tell you this entire story in flashbacks and how it's concurrent with present tense. So in the previous iteration, Bob takes this professor's secret formula and he's transformed. Whereas in real time, Bob found this kind of archived bottle of the serum and he's about to take it again. And it's just kind of a back and forth contrast with that. And even as present tense, Bob is remembering things about his past. He remembers in real time the inaccuracies his mind is conjuring up.
Mm-hmm.
And he even questions the existence of the void. He's so delusional, he doesn't believe himself, let alone that the void exists, even though he's experiencing it in real time. And so the void, it's a self-proclaimed face of his soul. And they come face to face with this entity. They come face to face with one another in this scenario. Lindy then finds Bob in a fetal position on the living room floor. They fight about his addiction. She's like, I thought you were done with this. And you get the idea that, okay, this has really set a tone for their relationship. She leaves him. And you get the idea that they've been through this time and time again, you know, and she's forgiven him, but she's done. She's officially run out of steam. And Bob just lets her go. He barely says a word because it's better for her. And he doesn't want to be selfish in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so after she leaves, he decides to put on the suit again, which seems to be a zip-up jacket and a makeshift blue cape attached to the back of it with clothesline pins. And so this is part of the key of remembering who he was, if you will. And so here you can see Jeff. It's very funny because, yeah, he pulls this thing out of the closet like it's going to be this golden god outfit.
Uh-huh.
And it's literally a jacket with clothespins and like a blankie on it.
Same.
It's so crazy. And so it's intriguing because you really, while you're reading the issue, you really start to wonder, like, is this guy for real? Like, is he just really just crazy? Is this what the issue is about? If anything he's conjured up in his mind is in fact fact, or is it just fiction?
Yeah.
But as Bob steps outside into the vastness of his yard, he takes flight in a world that apparently had forgotten that he was sentry. And so, yeah, this is the defining moment of the issue. Wow. Where you realize, oh, he was telling the truth. It's, yeah, not just a delusion. He can actually fly and he's some superpowered being. That's basically his first appearance. That the issue run is, I believe, 5 issues long, so it obviously follows a full storyline.
Yeah.
But that barely scratches the surface of his entire origin, whereas his true, or at least updated, origin story isn't revealed until the pages of the Dark Avengers title in 2009, where the O.G. Willikers version of the story is almost entirely, for lack of better wording, voided. They're almost like, just kidding, that didn't even happen that way. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, the perfect superhero origin. It was actually much more dark than they depicted of the OG Willikers. I'm going to take the professor's serum. Like, it's not that at all. And so it's revealed that Bob wasn't simply a freshman who stumbled upon the secret formula that imbued him with the powers, but that he was very much a junkie looking for his next fix, specifically meth. And so he broke into a laboratory that had been so sensationalized in the public eye. Like, you know, this was the place to get these experimental drugs. And so he and a, I guess you'd call him a friend, a junkie friend, break in and they're rummaging about looking for this drug. Lindy is actually telling the story, and in this panel, this is Bob finding whatever it is he's about to take. And she says, and guess what? As only a junkie can, he fell ass backwards into accidentally discovering his ultimate drug.
Oof.
And so it's so funny because it's as comics do, it's like super secret extra serum. Like,
of course.
It says, danger. And he's like, I'm going to take this one. I got to try it. The serum would deliver the ultimate high in the form of 1,000,000 burning suns coursing through his veins. And so this is truly the beginning of what becomes the Sentry. So whatever is in this serum immediately has its effects on him, and he goes berserk. And although the laboratory was destroyed, he acted like a junkie does, and he needed and sought more, taking any opportunity possible to get his fix. Things go south very quickly, and the professor that owned the laboratory approaches the scene, and he's like, oh no, my life's work is completely obliterated. And the first thing Bob asks him is, can you make more? Like, he doesn't say, hey, I'm sorry, this is my fault, oh, I ruined your laboratory, whatever. Yeah. He quite literally says, you can make more? Like a drug addict would. And it's just really sad because, you know, if you're any of the least bit familiar with this or have seen it in pop culture references, this is exactly what happens. We'll expand on that a little more later as we go along. But over on the MCU side, we have Robert Bob Reynolds, the Sentry, the Void, portrayed first and only by Lewis Pullman, who debuted in 2025's Thunderbolts, The New Avengers, directed by Jake Schreier. And so in the MCU, obviously, you know, we don't have to really go through this, but if you haven't seen Thunderbolts for whatever reason, we came to discover that Bob was a meth addict who came into the clutches of the Ox Group, the company that Valentina Allegra de Fontaine uses for her black ops projects. And so even to this day, there doesn't seem to be a clear establishment of what OXE even stands for. But what we do know is that it was first established in the Ultimate 1610 universe before crossing over into 616 in the comics. Mm. In any case, Bob was kept in an Ox vessel before its accidental reactivation during the vault scene, where Bob's powers were hinted through physical touch with all the members of the Thunderbolts. And it wasn't until the escape sequence from the vault that we see the potential of Bob's powers. Mm-hmm. And he was not only bulletproof, but he had telekinesis and flight.
Super speed. I don't even want to read the powers
it's
of paraphernalia.
Be your favorite portion.
No.
Favorite.
No.
And then, of course, later it all comes to a head when Valentina reintroduces Bob as the Sentry, pitting him against the Thunderbolts. And we're served the ultimate sequence of powers on display, making the likes of not just one, but 3 super soldiers seem like ragdolls. If you think about that in hindsight, he went up against 3 super soldiers and he barely lifted a finger, you know, like barely, which is kind of crazy. Because John Walker is technically the most powerful of them. And then it's Bucky, and then it's Red Guardian. And he wiped the floor with all
didn't
3
even,
of them.
Didn't even break a sweat.
No, not even close. And after their retreat, of course, he turns on Valentina. to which Mel engages the old quick kill switch, which only rendered the void the variant personality of Bob's and the true villain of the film. And as we came to see it in full force, the void's capability of rendering an individual and trapping them within their own negative memory zone is the endless cycle of his manner of overcoming anyone that stands in his way. And so Bob's added powers as the sentry ensured that Void was also invulnerable in the process. Mm-hmm. Definitely a nightmare scenario. It's just a nightmare scenario.
So if he's sentry, he's also the Void.
I mean, in the MCU, that's how they're treating it.
Yeah.
Like, there's the possibility that he can, that the Void is present at all times, right? And that this, that Bob, as sentry, has enough power to subdue him.
Mm.
But if he lets his guard down,
the Void can take over.
Can take over, exactly right. Okay. And so, again, does not help that as sentry, he is invulnerable. He's all of these powers, whereas if he was not sentry and he was just Bob, the Void would, one, probably not exist anyway, or two, just be a dark entity in his brain. And of course, again, we'll get into this a little more as we go along. But thanks to the light and care of not only Yelena, but the rest of the Thunderbolts, Bob was able to break free from the Void's depressing allure, saving New York in the process. So I said this to Jeff earlier. There are some little nuggets in the brand new Day trailer that kind of
People are thinking like it's happening simultaneously, like when the Void
It'd
is happening.
It'd be so dope. I would love that.
I mean, it makes
that.
Sense that when the reports of Yelena making a small cameo, you know?
Yeah. Well, now it makes all the more sense, right? Because, and it's always been that question that we've had, like, when something is happening, where's everybody else at?
What if Spidey gets into the Void for like a scene?
That's what I was thinking.
And that's when he's just like super depressed Spider-Man.
Exactly.
And we're like, yeah, depressed Spider-Man.
Which the world is in love with.
Yes, you're going through problems. Love that.
Yeah.
You lost the love of your life. Yes. He's just
You're
like
broke.
Me.
Yes. Yeah.
He's
everything.
Broke, miserable, and alone.
Exactly. Exactly. Beaten, maybe battered.
Maybe,
yeah. He's,
maybe the movie starts off like that.
That's my theory, is that the movie starts cold from the Void, from the perspective of Peter Parker in the Void.
It happened like in when is it in a Batman versus Superman, right? Like when that same event of Superman destroying Metropolis, and then you see it from Batman's point of view, you're like, so maybe like that's like how it cold opens, and that's kind of what like jump starts his like, I'm depressed.
It's like, hey, I'm Peter Parker, my life sucks. Last week New York was taken by the, you know, like I could absolutely see that. Whether or not it'll happen, I mean, we'll find out in a few months, but yeah, that was kind of my feeling, that maybe we'll actually get to see a Peter Parker perspective of the Void, and or this is the integration of this rumored cameo of Yelena, and some other outlets said Bucky as well, but I think it's definitely Yelena. So we'll see, and it's definitely going to be awesome if they end up doing that. But Bob in the MCU, I mean, one film, one character, he had a decent amount of screen time as three different characters, definitely established him very well. I think the story is pretty cut and dry. You got the idea that, okay, this man was trekking through Europe and Asia.
Yeah.
And he was just looking for a high. And then he stumbled into this Ox group, you know, function, and was like, sure, shoot me up.
Sure.
I'm good.
I got nothing to live for.
Yeah, exactly. And here he came. He was imbued with the same powers like he was in the comics. You know, they had no idea what it was going to do to him. But the interesting thing about both versions of this character is that this is what happens when it's not a super duper great person that's in the greatest headspace.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get into it later, but there is a reference to Captain America in the comics and how, and the Doctor even says it in First Avenger, where it's like, this is what happens when you give a good man like the drug. I don't know what the line is.
I always
is,
botch
right?
it.
Yeah,
also.
I always botch it.
You must always remain a good man.
Right. And it's like, and they said it in another, who was it? Now I'm going to, it's frying my brain. Oh, no. Mel says it in Thunderbolts. She says, like, Yeah, but that's what happens when you give someone like Steve Rogers the serum.
Compared to
Bob, and quite literally Bob. And so, we'll get really deep into it in just a moment. But first, we're going to stop and look at his aesthetic. And I mean, just like his little bio, Jeff, he's kind of one for one. Aside the hair, hair is a little different for a number of reasons, because it's Louis Pullman. They're trying to give him a natural look, but also they kind of give him this bleach blonde thing for a moment because, it was catering to the storyline. But otherwise, the color, down to the color, his outfit is pretty much one for one. The only thing that's very vastly different is the Sentry logo itself. Mm. But despite Lewis's physique compared to Comic Bob, it's pretty on point, down to the dark shading and the cool sheen of the black. And Sonia Milikovic-Hayes headed the costume design for Thunderbolts. She also took lead on, speaking of, Spider-Man No Way Home, as well as Captain Marvel. Mm. So if you liked those costumes,
you're going to love this
one. You got to love this one too. And she's really great at what she does. So Jeffrey's favorite portion of the show.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
No.
Powers and paraphernalia.
I don't even want to hear it. There's no point.
Oh, man. I'm just going to front load this and say, I pulled it down. I cut other intricacies down and out because I was like,
no, I'm reading this right now. No. Don't read. No.
Here we go. So, for our friend Sentry, as far as his power is concerned.
You want me to read it? I'll read this one.
Let's go.
One is probably going to piss me off.
Let's go.
I thought Eternals would piss me off.
No. There are just a lot of them copied and pasted.
Yeah, but they all just do the same thing.
Yeah, they're just copy and pasted. This, I want real-time response.
Because
from
we
you.
Know like what Superman is. Like yes. We know like he's pretty much the end-all be-all of
X-ray vision.
Exactly.
Laser
exactly.
eyes.
All right, guys.
Super strength.
Bob, aka Sentry, has the stupidest powers.
Oh, God. We're starting off great. Let's go. I'm here for it.
He has. Is gonna okay.
You know what, Jeff? You gotta be careful. I might make you do this every episode here on out.
Forgive me. This is long.
That's
so
amazing.
If you can hear my eye roll at every single one. That's how tired I am of these comic book sources and origins.
Oh, here we go.
He has enhanced physiology derived from the Golden Sentry serum. Sure, includes molecular kinesis. Materialization, biokinesis, resurrection, regenerative healing factor, superhuman strength, speed, agility, reflexes, stamina. We should just stop there. We should just stop there because that's already like the perfect superhero.
Everything, yeah.
Senses, flight, teleportation, energy absorption, and manipulation. Stupid. Power sharing, photokinesis, light powers include projection, invisibility, energy blasts. Dumb. Umbrakinesis. I don't even know what that is.
Umbrakinesis.
There's a lot of big words in here, and I'm going to take it as a sign of disrespect.
Umbra, the origin word, the root word, dark. So he has darkness manipulation as the void.
Sure. Psionic abilities. All this to say, he possesses nigh invulnerable. What is nigh?
Almost.
Why do you just say there's no? Just say yes or no.
he's
either invulnerable or not invulnerable.
Yeah, so he's almost invulnerable.
And is essentially immortal. No, essentially he is. Bob in the void essentially possesses the same power set, but the power strength themselves vary depending on who is in control.
Yeah. So there are instances where this.
So then, how does he die? How can you kill this man?
Well, that's the thing. You can kill him. You can. Like, we talk about it a little later,
sure.
But I'll say it now, is that there's a molecular man, right? For instance, molecule man. So molecule man.
Yes, of course.
Can't imagine what he does.
You need one specific person.
Yeah, so molecule man can pull apart molecules,
okay.
Right? So imagine, if you will, he quite literally just pulled Bob apart.
Yeah.
Pulled him apart.
So he can kill any hero or villain.
I promise you, Jeff, 3 pages later, he was back. I was like, what? What? Yeah, no, so you can kill him. He will just re-manifest in some form or another and pull himself back together, recomposition himself, and he
it's like
will
you
be back.
It's like trying to kill like Wolverine. Like you really, really
it's basically like
have
that.
To go out yeah. of your way to like make sure yeah. he isn't dead.
And the one time that they actually succeeded in killing Logan, if you want to even call it that,
yeah.
they encased him in adamantium. So he couldn't get out.
Ah.
But even then.
Yeah. So
and Peter Parker too.
All that to say, this is stupid.
Yeah, he's got everything.
He's dumb.
Got everything. I think even though it's not listed, right? He could probably shoot lasers from his eyes. And I think he has. You know what I mean? Like he has everything. And that's what all this materialization and manipulation comes from, because he can actually manifest all these things. And so all that aside, fun fact, he was stated to be an Omega level threat by the likes of Reed Richards.
Yeah.
A level rank that includes the likes of Hulk and the Phoenix. So once again, Hulk is proving himself to be one of the most powerful entities in existence in the Marvel Universe. But to put Bob...
I know.
All the way up there is saying something. And so over on the MCU side, not quite as rage-inducing as the comic book version, but... Bob in live action does include the power grid of artificially enhanced physiology, a result of a Project Sentry trial drug, superhuman strength, durability, speed, agility, stamina, reflexes, regenerative healing factor, flight, psionics, which include telekinesis, telepathy, matter manipulation, and heat generation, as well as darkness manipulation. So... basically, all that the void can naturally do is the darkness manipulation part. Everything else is as we've seen it. And it's very interesting. Again, yeah. He can probably do everything. And the only real difference between the two is that one is a derivative of the Golden Sentry Serum. And then the MCU is the Project Sentry Serum. So that's it. Everything else is pretty much one for one. And aside his powers, Bob also utilizes an AI assistant in the comics by the name of acronym CLOCK, Centrally Located Organic Computer, C-L-O-C. And its main purpose is basically to alert Sentry of any worldwide crisis and conflicts that he might actually be able to temper. So it's kind of like his red phone. And it like goes off and is like, Bob, there is a crisis overseas, and then he'll go and fix the problem. And then there's also an apparatus called the Confluctor. And without getting too deep in the weeds, Doctor Strange once created a pocket universe in Bob's head where he could go and retreat to and operate as Sentry without the threat and reemergence of the void. Very complicated stuff. The Confluctor worked as a transport gateway to the negative zone and is operated by CLOCK. So, and again, we have the buzzword of negative zone floating around in this ether. As far as family, friends, and affiliations, first up, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. I don't know if you saw that coming. In recollection, I was like, oh yeah. Which is interesting, because he's not somebody you expect. And we didn't talk about Bob in relation to Reed in our Reed study whatsoever, because... Bob isn't as important to Reed's story as Reed is to Bob's. So, of all the main players introduced in Bob's first appearance and series, it was Reed, and he's depicted as his best friend in the comics. And it's further underscored throughout the original Marvel Knights storyline. And it's kind of like, well, why? Because, after all, who better to put an end or at least slow down one of the most formidable powers in existence than Reed Richards? Because it's kind of like he's like, you know, parenting him.
Hey, maybe they meet him in check. And maybe they meet in Doomsday.
That's the thing, right? Because the Thunderbolts were very much aboard the Fantastic Four's ship, the Excelsior. So we'll see what happens, but it makes sense, especially in the comics. And to top it all off, Reed was the one who concocted the remedy in the comics to stop the void from killing more people than it already had. I mean, this might sound familiar, but the plan ended up being that they made everybody forget who Bob was. using Doctor Strange's powers. Mm-hmm. Does that sound at all familiar to you, Jeff? Does that sound at all familiar?
Sounds like a recent insect.
It's not even a recent insect. It sounds like the plot for No Way Home.
I know. Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, Peter Parker isn't the only person that Doctor Strange has helped. He helped Bob as well. Although we're not going to go down that particular rabbit hole, the arc is pretty powerful and ends with the world forgetting Sentry ever existed, let alone the Void, and it allowed Bob and the rest of humanity to exist. It went as far as to delete photographs from people's memories and full-on pictures from the Daily Bugle of Sentry. Like, if it popped up in media, it would be a blank slate, and only Bob could see it. So he would hold a picture of himself and be like, can't you remember I was Sentry? And then the person looking at the picture would be like, it's blank.
Oof.
And that's how deep the erasure went. It's really crazy. And Reed is certainly a character who comes in and out of Sentry's central storyline, even going as far as to attempt to separate Bob and the Void to arrive at the fact that it's actually impossible. So even Mr. Fantastic couldn't figure out a way to separate the two. They're innately connected. Nevertheless, it isn't uncommon to see Sentry intermingling with the likes of Reed, Strange, and Tony Stark. It's almost like a fail-safe company, just in case. So he's keeping the company of the world's most brilliant minds, because if he loses himself, they're the ones that are actually going to be able to put him back in check. So it's very fascinating to read him early on in the comics for that exact reason. While on the MCU side, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, portrayed by Pedro Pascal, first and last seen in 2025's Fantastic Four, First Steps, directed by Matt Shackman. And so technically, they have not had a crossover yet. But as Jeffrey just mentioned, we have seen behind-the-scenes photos of the Thunderbolts aboard the ship, and there are theories up and down that they're congregating with the Wakandans in the desert and Namor, and so everybody might be together in Doomsday. We just won't see it until December. Then that brings us to Billy Turner, a.k.a. Scout. Scout.
It's like a nice little just name.
Yeah. Golly gee willikers, it's Scout. And as it goes, every hero needs a good sidekick. And Billy Turner was Bob's. And fortunate for him, the Void thought otherwise. And Billy lost a literal arm to the Void, later seen bearing battle scars even as he went to live a normal life. And it's messed up because, again, as part of the Marvel Knights line, right? Again, it's more gritty, more rugged. They quite literally show the Void chopping off this man's arm.
My God.
Like, and you have to understand, in the comics, the Void isn't just a blacked out version of Bob. He is very boogeyman-ish. And they refer to him as a boogeyman quite often, which is pretty accurate as far as I'm concerned, because he takes on different shapes. You would almost say he's like Venom-like. Whoa. In some cases. Here's a version. This is the Void in the comics.
Oh my gosh.
Very scary, very demon. Relentless. Very demon-like. Yeah, very demon-like, dark, spiky, all things scary. That's the Void. Oh, here he is in another instance. Again, spiky, scary, kind of just dark. He's a dark character, mm-hmm. literally. What happened next would be very surprising because after taking on the normal life, Billy himself went on to become Sentry, thanks to yet another experimental serum introduced in the pages of the 2018 solo title. And while the serum empowered Billy enough to combat Bob as Sentry, it hardly lasted, and Billy ultimately died by Bob's hand.
My God.
So they're not, this is like the storyline for you. If you were going to read a storyline, Jeff, there's so much destruction, and the fact that he killed his own comrade. Oh my gosh. So I have the screenshot for you. Oh my heavens. I'm trying to describe it because we have a podcast that is not visual. And so Bob has basically had enough of Billy's.
I'll see it. I'll try to describe it.
Okay.
Let me see it.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'll be as PG-13 as I can.
Bob is the bearded one.
Sure. Oh, they're just hugging it out. not ripping off his skin.
Yeah, no. So Billy's been through it. Billy is basically walking human, like beef jerky. He is fried. He has been torn and twisted apart. And he is without his arm. And this is at the depletion of his sentry powers. And Bob is still at the height of his own because they're basically part of him now. Billy's was temporary. And he just says, Bob just simply says, let me take it away. And snaps his neck and ends it all. It's over. He killed him. Killed his own sidekick. Imagine Captain America killing young Bucky Barnes. That's the kind of level we're dealing with here. Imagine Batman killing Robin. And Batman doesn't kill people.
Yeah.
It's like that. And it's brutal. It's brutal. Bob is really something else. I'll tell you that much. And of course, in this instance, there is no Billy Turner or Scout in the MCU, at least not yet. He's a character I don't think we're going to see. Like, it could make for an interesting subplot, but I don't think we're going to see this kid. However, there is a particular group that Bob is affiliated with. Their name is the Dark Avengers.
Wow.
So I remember mentioning them very, very briefly once upon a time, many, many moons ago. But aside newer iterations of the Avengers, Bob also intermingled with a darker rendition of the team, once led by who else but Norman Osborn himself. And we've briefly discussed this in previous episodes. And so the team was comprised of Osborn as Iron Patriot, Ares, Navarre, who was Captain Marvel, as well as a disguised supervillains group of Moonstone as Ms. Marvel, Venom, who was Mac Gargan at the time, not Eddie Brock. He was Spider-Man, and Bullseye as Hawkeye.
All right.
Which is the, if you ask me, that's the most lethal, like, rework you could imagine. Like
Hawkeye's already deadly.
Exactly.
But then you have Bullseye.
Imagine him as Bullseye.
Yeah.
And Logan's own disgruntled son, Daken, as Wolverine. So it is quite literally the Dark Avengers. They are the bad versions of the Avengers as you knew them. And one might think, why on earth did he join the team at all? Well, the answer is pretty simple, sadly, is that he and Osborn have a little mental deficiency in common. And so Bob went to him like, hey, I have this problem with this, I don't want to call it an alter ego, but, you know, he has this consciousness that's residing in him. And Osborn was basically like, yeah, I know how that can be. and yeah, it gave them something. It gave them a common thread to which Bob seeks help in Norman to better understand his issue with the Void. And so it does not end well. None of it does, but we're going to get into that in the next section here. But as far as live action is concerned, we have not seen a speck of the Dark Avengers, at least as the Dark Avengers, but there is a whole bunch of potential for that to happen. It's definitely something that I would like to see. I don't think I ever will. But if they wanted to make like an actually messed up, rated R, like bloody massacre type of a movie, the Dark Avengers would be it. And then that leaves us with the Thunderbolts. And it goes without saying that the Thunderbolts roster has changed significantly over the years, rotating through many, many, many a member. Some of its most recent iterations are the closest to the film's lineup. So, you know, Bucky's been at the helm, but there have been straight up villains behind this group. But when it comes to Bob, however, the most crossover occurred during the King in Black storyline, where they attempted to use his severed corpse as a bomb.
Oh my God.
Against Null. Yeah.
That is insane.
I'm trying to remember the context. It's what's messed up is I see the panel in my head very clearly. And so I think what happened in this particular sheet where he was ripped apart. It might have been the Molecule Man thing.
Dude, Molecule Man is such a crazy...
It's so nuts. It's a calendar man. Stilt man. Molecule Man. Yeah, he was quite literally severed into two. And it's funny because like they're almost comical. That particular group of Thunderbolts was almost comical because they were already on this like weird rager.
Yeah.
And they saw Bob from far away. Like his legs were they were like peeking out from a bush.
Of course.
And they're like, "Oh, there's the sentry. Let's go get him. You know, maybe we can use him for some reason." And they're thinking it's the entire body and they pull the legs and it's just his lower half.
Oh, that's so then they traumatizing.
They then go fish the rest of his body out of the river. It's so dark and it's so like crazy. It's like maniacal. And then the fun doesn't stop there, Jeff, because they stuff him with explosives and literally tape his torso. And then they try to use him to blow up Null, who is the, if you had forgotten who Null is, so Null, we haven't talked about him, probably not going to, but he is the eldritch god of darkness and the creator of the symbiotes. We talked about him very, very briefly in our Venom episode, but they try to blow him up. It didn't work out, but Bob still came back. He still came back. He is not dead. He came back very quickly, actually. It's alarming. So all that craziness aside, the Thunderbolts in live action are obviously very different.
Yes.
They are portrayed by Sebastian Stan, Florence Pugh, Wyatt Russell, Hannah John Kamen, David Harbour, and Olga Kurylenko as Winter Soldier, Black Widow, U.S. Agent, Ghost, Red Guardian, and Taskmaster, respectively. And just as their tagline suggested, they were truly an unconventional team of anti-heroes, and dare I add, dysfunctional, to perfection. And without really repeating ourselves from above, Bob seemed to fit in pretty beautifully with the rest of these rough around the edges, somewhat broken, scrappy anti-heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And they inevitably helped him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, when it comes to Bob and the Thunderbolts, what is your take on that? How do you feel about that? Does it jive?
I mean, it's nice to have a Bob in the group, you know? Like, you know, I know you got two super soldiers,
yeah.
A Black Widow, you got Ghost.
Yeah.
But when you have a Bob...
And a
who
Bob.
Who can bail you out.
Yeah.
It's a good weapon to have.
What I love is that he is also, like, again, they don't call him Robert, right?
Yeah,
like Valentina does, but they refer to this character as Bob.
Hell yeah.
And Bob.
Bob.
And yet he is like the most formidable, strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Impossible.
Shout out to Lewis Pullman for playing that. Like,
no, for sure. Right?
Yeah, like it's like oh, like, yeah, you love him. Like
he's
so
very
sweet.
Lovable, yeah. Very endearing.
100%.
And then you're like, oh, you're scary. And then he gets scarier. Somehow gets scarier. Yeah. Lewis really pulled it off.
Yeah.
He absolutely incredible in the role. Goes without saying. And I loved him a lot. I thought he was great right off the bat. Very charmed by him and his relationship with all of the Thunderbolts. I mean, I obviously love the film. Big fan. You could say I'm into it. But I loved Bob. I think their dynamic is fantastic. And so, fun fact, in the First Century series in the comics, they refer to his headquarters as the Watchtower, which is the same name they've given the tower that Valentina now owns in Thunderbolts. So they call it the Watchtower, which is the same thing that they did in the comics, which is pretty cool. So there's a reason for everything. There are actually quite a lot of Easter eggs in Thunderbolts that I feel like people overlook. And it's all a derivative from the Sentry series. That brings us to love.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com. Starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Interests. This is where we're going to actually get a pretty significant part of Bob's origin and his lore, really. Because when it comes to love interests, there's only one notable figure for Bob, and that's someone we mentioned up top, Lindy Lee Reynolds. And so despite their loyalty to one another, even Lindy admitted verbatim that she convinced herself she married Superman.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But in truth, she was, quote unquote, this is from the comic book, I promise you. She was married to an honest-to-God monster, a drug addict, mentally ill, murdering monster who blames all his sins on the boogeyman. She said that about her own husband.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But as one does in an abusive relationship, she kept convincing herself no, 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 you're overreacting. No, 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 it's fine. No, 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 I can change him. It's every red flag you can possibly imagine. So all that said, Lindy is truly the person who brings Bob's true self to light, comparing him to the likes of Captain America and noting that after gaining the power of the Sentry, it was no longer about the drugs. It became the power. Sentry was his new addiction, so it did nothing to help him. It only made things worse, because now he wasn't just a meth-hungry junkie. Mm-hmm. Now he has had a taste of power immaculate, right?
Of course.
Pure power, again, the power of a million exploding suns, right? Coursing through his veins.
Coursing through his veins!
So, as awesome as it sounds, you're also like, but you're dealing with a drug addict, not Steve Rogers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Steve Rogers got that serum, he would have been the equivalent of Superman, but the purest Superman you could imagine.
Yes.
But we got Bob. Again, we got Bob. So Bob, being a mentally unwell, not exactly happy person.
Yes.
And again, a drug addict. That's why we ended up with the Sentry we did, as well as the Void. So, unfortunate for Lindy, she met her fate in a classic fridge bridge manner, and she was essentially used as bait by all of Bob's adversaries to provoke Sentry and the Void, often seen as someone complicating the larger issue at hand. So she was put in scenarios like, he could be better, but you're the problem. You're holding him back, etc., etc. And despite previously being resurrected, Lindy is very much deceased in comic continuity, going on 16 years now. And so she was killed by Hawkeye, Bullseye, posing as Hawkeye, that is. And so, there's a few screenshots here. Oh my gosh. There are moments where Lindy compares herself to Sue Storm and Reed Richards, sees their relationship, and because they were at her wedding. They were at the wedding.
Okay.
Again, they were like besties, right? And so Lindy just tried to convince herself that Bob was a good guy. But there is this one moment in the comics where Bob is quite literally having a battle against Void in his own brain over Lindy, because Lindy at one point straight up pulled out an alien gun and held it to Bob's face and was like, I can't do this anymore, and shot him in the face. His head pretty much popped off, like his face was gone.
Yeah.
Okay. But unfortunate for her, again, he doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So while she's having this monologue about, oh, I convinced myself I married Superman, he gets better.
Yeah, of course.
He comes back.
Uh-huh.
And he has this conflict with the Void. And he tells the Void, we had a deal. You don't touch her. She's the only one that is exempt from the Void's wrath, right? And the Void takes over. This is scary stuff. He's quite literally switching in the moment. And he says to Lindy and Bob, he's like, that was then. She asked me to. She flat out begged.
Wow.
And
oh my gosh.
Bob is just like, no, no, don't touch her. Literally in the same scene. And she's just standing there like,
what's going on? Yeah.
And the Void is like, I think we can all agree at this point that your life will be so much easier without her. And so he's losing. Before, it used to be a no contest.
Yeah.
But he's been pushed so far to the edge now by his own wife that she is no longer exempt from this. And he just straight up says, and this is all like internal thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Void is saying, she doesn't love you anymore. And Bob is still fighting for her, but does not work to her advantage. He goes away. He flies away, flies off, can't deal with it. Norman concocts this plan to isolate Lindy.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Hawkeye, he gives Hawkeye the directive of, I want you to take a separate helicopter than the rest of the team. Just tell her you're going to go off to another base elsewhere. And, oh man, again, Bullseye as Hawkeye is the craziest move you can make.
Yeah.
So he's put the helicopter on autopilot over the ocean. She's really starting to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking her questions. He's like, oh, how did you first meet? You know, like really mundane stuff. And then there's a moment, which is very classic Bullseye, where he starts to say things and you're just like, what? Like, what'd you say to me? And so he begins to unravel in a very cruel manner. And he says, I mean, you know, he says something like, you know, you're kind of plain. Like, why would he ever marry someone like you?
Yeah.
And she's like, excuse me?
How dare
like,
you? So,
yeah, she's clutching her pearls and she's like, what? And he goes, I mean, he can have anybody. I mean, I can have anybody. And all I do is kill people. And I swear, I can get any girl I want. Imagine the ass he's missing out on because he's married to you. He literally says that.
Wow.
This is next level. It's next level for sure. And so after all this taunting, he's quite literally up in her face. Man, Bullseye's nuts. We haven't talked about Bullseye yet.
Yeah, no, he says, even like in MCU, like in the, he's...
Oh, it's, yeah, it's true to the comics. We're going to talk about Bullseye at the end of season two for sure. So this is the series of events, Jeff. This is what happens after he taunts the hell out of her. Grabs her by the neck, just keeps on strangling her, strangles her.
She gets low-keyed?
Yep, she gets low-keyed. Crickety crack. And he just goes, ah, and tosses her out into the ocean.
Damn.
She's dead. Yeah.
Damn.
So that was the end of Lindy. Sad, but you know.
Yeah.
They did it with reason, because what would happen after that? Sentry's like, where's my wife? And what did Norman want? He wanted the void. And so they did what they had to do. And so one of the crazy quotes that Lindy even said, and again, it's very comparable to what Mel said in the Thunderbolts, is that this is what happens when someone who doesn't deserve power gets the power. So if Bob's wife... is even feeling that way. Imagine the rest of the world once they figure out, oh, this guy is our superhero. Got it. And so as for Lindy Lee in the MCU, no counterpart. Could we see her? Possibly.
Maybe, most likely not.
Yeah, I had difficulty with that one. I was like, oh, they might introduce... I mean, it depends if they want to give Sentry a romantic subplot.
Yeah.
I think he's too powerful and important to... sidebar into that world, but I could see them potentially. I think small fraction of me believes it, but I wouldn't completely rule it out, because if they're gonna give him long haul, sure,
yeah,
they might introduce a love interest and then they get married and he's sort of normal, but you know, for a little limited time. But I did want to give an honorable mention to my wife Yelena Belova. Because, you know, there is that little shipping world out there.
I think they're besties. I think they're great friends.
No, well, this
they
is
need the... each other as friends.
Exactly. And I feel the same, because many would acknowledge Bob and Yelena as romantic interests in the MCU, despite Jake Schreier confirming otherwise. But in my homework, Jeff, I found a video of Lewis Pullman himself stating Yelena was the sister that Bob never had. I was like, oh!
Love that.
There it is. And that's what I said. I said, Natasha is to Yelena that Yelena is to Bob.
Mm.
That's the mirror that I see. Because you know the MCU is just all about the parallel. And that's the parallel I saw. And so, yeah, I agree too. I think they're besties. I think they needed each other and they all needed each other in a weird way. But Yelena and Bob in particular... Again, her name, Yelena, literally means light in Russian.
Mm.
What better to combat darkness than light? It's a little cheesy, but it made perfect sense. And I think they played it well. And nevertheless, there is an undoubted measure of care and purpose between not only those two, but the Thunderbolts. So it's something that correlates with all the members at the end of it all. And as Yelena says, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the comics, however, Yelena Belova does exist as Black and or White Widow, depending on how you want to refer to her. But although she's just an honorable mention on the MCU site, I did a flipsies here. As far as love interests are concerned in the comics, these two have tangled, albeit briefly, in a stint where AIM had mutated her. We talked about it, I think, in our character study. But they turned her into a power-absorbing machine. And so that's the main crossover between the two, is that Yelena absorbed Sentry's powers, but unfortunate for her, she also absorbed a taste of the void. And so as the Avengers came to her rescue, sort of, to defeat her, they were asking her who she was working for, and they were trying to get the answers out of her. And AIM, remotely executed Yelena before she could spill the secrets. So yeah, it was like a crazy little storyline that they had. But other than that, they don't have much crossover as far as comic book goes. So yeah, definitely more in the MCU. So for notable adversaries, there is first Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, which a lot like Yelena, if not even less. There's no major crossover, let alone affiliation, between these two in the comics. And lest we forget, Valentina was known as Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine in the comics, or even more importantly, Madame Hydra. So even though Valentina is a very different monster,
yes,
when it comes to canon, they still had nothing in common. Like, they don't, there's no actual tie back to them. Whereas in the MCU, she's portrayed by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, first and last seen in 2021's Black Widow film, directed by Kate Shortland, last seen in Thunderbolts. So that's crazy. Not only have we had Tom Holland in the MCU for 10 years now, we have also had Julia Louis-Dreyfus for 5 years and Florence Pugh for like 5 years as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're already at the quote unquote halfway point
for a 10 year,
15 year tenure that most of them have.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild, but Valentina, oh my gosh. So you got to hand it to her as a villain antagonist type.
Yes.
Who can really one up herself in every appearance. 'Cause every time she came through, you're just like, oh, here she is again. And every time she came through, you were like, oh, she's getting worse.
She's doing this tomfoolery.
Yeah, because there was a lot of, I mean, obviously we haven't talked about Valentina, and maybe we can, but yeah, like, was it Wakanda Forever where we were like, oh, was it Wakanda Forever? Because it was Agent Ross.
Yes.
And you know, you're like, oh, so not only did those two date, but what is she doing? Why is she head of CIA? Why is she gathering all these people?
Yeah, why is she so interested in Wakanda?
Yeah, and why is she doing all these things? And of course, it all comes to light in Thunderbolts itself. As far as Bob is concerned, it's all because of the Oxyrim that he takes, and he becomes Sentry, becomes the Void, awakens the Void. And naturally, as Valentina does in all of these appearances, she attempted to coerce Bob with compassion, almost acting motherly toward Bob, only to be squashed by the idea of Bob becoming a god. And he said, and I was like, what did he say? And he says, why should a god take orders from anyone at all?
Yeah.
That shit scared me. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, like, when he said
and
that.
And
I was
even
like,
Valentina was like, damn.
Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, man. Yikes. So it's a very interesting and classic tale of like a regular old, just powerful person thinking that they can control the narrative and being squashed almost immediately. And after all was said and done, Bob seems to have forgotten most of the events he experienced while in the Void, even Valentina's betrayal. And that's the question. Is he going to come to a point where he remembers everything?
Mm.
Does he remember everything at the end of Thunderbolts? Because I don't get that vibe at all. I think he's still like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure what happened that day. But all I know is that there's the other guy. And I'm Sentry and I'm the Void. But he doesn't remember details. And so, yeah, we'll see if he ever takes revenge on Valentina for what she's done to him, or any of them for that matter. And that brings us to his arch nemesis, the Void. And so beyond the above, the Void's most formidable power is best described in a panel from the Sentry versus the Void. And it simply says, not that anyone could move fast enough to outrun their own nightmares or outwit their own fear. And so you might ask, what exactly is the purpose or the goal of the Void?
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt that this screenshot pretty much summarized it pretty well. And so this is the Void speaking, of course. And so he says, why, hadn't you heard? I want it all, the entire universe and more, to devour the entirety of soul food in this place. Hers first, perhaps? I think he was talking about Lindy. I'm not sure. Perhaps last, just so you'll know it's coming. Every single one of them, Sentry, all the way through to you. So he wants, he's like Galactus. He just wants all the tastiness. He wants all
the scrums. So he feeds off
scrums.
Negative energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
And so he's like, okay, give me all the... Literally says soul food.
Yeah.
Souls are food to him. And so he's slowly consuming Bob and waiting for more power to come out. And so it's imperative that Bob stays on the right or else Void gets full power.
Yeah.
So he's got to keep himself in check, kind of like he said at the end of the film. Because, like, the whole thing about Red Guardian being like, oh, we could ride Bob into the sky. And he's like, oh, I can. You know, I got to keep the other guy. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, he can't, he's scared to be the sentry because then that means...
The void is also
present in some way. So, yeah, in the comics, I don't know if they're going to take it to this level in the MCU where he's, like, quite literally a devourer of sorts. But, again, it's not necessarily so literal. It's just that he feeds off of that energy.
Yeah, it's like
and it just makes him powerful.
It's like in The Dark Knight. It's like where Batman is trying to ask Alfred, like, what does he want? What's his motive?
Yeah.
You know? And then Alfred is like, well... Sometimes people don't have a motive. They just want to watch the world burn.
Yes. Yeah, actually, that's quite great. Yeah. Oh, love that line. Yeah, it's pretty accurate, honestly. And like, there's truly nothing more to say because, I mean, it goes much deeper in so many ways because, again, this is comics. So they have arcs and arcs and arcs and years and years and years to build on top of the Void lore. And so again, it goes back to Null, it goes back to King in Black, it goes back to all of those things where we find a little bit more about all this darkness that's happening in the Marvel Universe, especially with Bob. But yeah, it's quite simply that. It's just a manifestation that's part of Bob's psyche that just got as much power as he did once he took that damn serum.
Yeah.
It just amplified everything. And it's like, this is what happens. Yeah. So yeah, it's when the wrong person gets the power. And so in the MCU, speaking of, the Void is depicted not unlike his comic book counterpart, essentially a dark soulless version of Bob dripping in blackness. That's never ending. He's a void. He's a literal void. And it's truly the embodiment of depression, negativity, all brought to life, but with tangible capabilities that make him even more dangerous. And so it didn't hesitate to overwhelm not only Bob when it had the chance, but the rest of the city. So like this panel says, it slowly started to overtake the city, which was inevitably going to take over the entire planet, more or less, because it wanted souls to just capture and have and feed on, I guess, and relish that idea of having control. And also just because it's crazy, like, you know, it was the way he was talking to Bob. Even he was like, oh, you can't do anything, and really talking him down and wearing him down. But yeah, it's the power of friendship that saved him.
That's what
Jeff.
I'm saying. It is. And sometimes that's all it takes. Yeah.
Which I thought is funny because, you know, after seeing the film and people were like, oh, you know, they were talking so much smack on Thunderbolts. And it's just like, relax. Okay, just relax. And they're like, oh, what, a hug saved him? And it's like,
dude,
it's so much deeper than that, but okay.
A hug can save a lot of things, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I mean, good. Honestly, some people, all they need is a hug. We see it in everyday life. We see it in everyday life, in true crime.
Promise you.
Yeah. Negotiators are there for a reason, you know what I mean? Like, there's talking down, talking it out, all the therapy, all the stuff is there for a reason. What Jake Schreier did in Thunderbolts, not so explicitly, but also, like, if you just watch subtle details, again, it's all strength in some way. So it's more than just a hug. It's just like support, moral support, affection, care. All of that stuff is wrapped in that little hug. And so that's kind of what he needs in the comics. But his wife is dead and his best friends are trying to help him, you know, and help him sustain that he is a good person, even though he has these issues.
Yeah.
So, you know. We have a long way to go as far as MCU Bob is concerned. So we'll see, because the rumor is he's got a big chunk of storyline in Doomsday. So
I mean, he's a powerful guy.
Yeah, exactly. And although Void is undoubtedly Bob's strongest adversary, I just wanted to give an honorable mention to... Again, Molecule Man, the being who was able to pull apart and practically feed upon Bob's existence. It's so crazy because they meet, right? And Bob's like, he's weakened and that shocks him. And he's brought to his knees and he's like, there's something wrong. And Molecule Man is just looking at him and he's like, oh, you're different. And it's so creepy because it's predatory, right? He's like, oh, you're different. And he starts to like taste the molecules radiating off of Bob's like existence. Mm-hmm. And that's when he takes him down. It's so nutty. Like, comics are crazy, man. Comics are crazy. But yeah, Sentry was too powerful. It killed him anyway. So Molecule Man did not live to see another day. I think he is still dead in comics, thanks to Bob. And so that brings us to Almost Was. And so to anyone who remotely paid attention to the news revolving around Thunderbolt since its announcement, it should be no surprise that Steven Yeun was originally cast to play Bob in the MCU before SAG-AFTRA strikes brought its inevitable delays to the film, essentially leaving Steven to pick between projects. And then enter Lewis Pullman.
Yeah.
So it's pretty like they just went, hey, Steven, we love what you did in Beef. And it was Jake Schreier.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so he brought him over to play Sentry. And unfortunately, yeah, strikes ruined the day, dude. They have really
schedules
had,
and everything. Yeah.
They really.
But we talked about
things.
It when we did like, I think our like a review of the movie mm-hmm. after we watched it.
Yeah.
But, you know, after now seeing Lewis Pullman in the role, like, do we think, you know, seeing Steven Yeun mm-hmm. do it, like, could we believe that?
Right.
And that's always like with a grain of salt in hindsight, obviously, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's like, how would Steven Yeun like mm-hmm. approach the role?
Yeah.
And it's like, we'll never know.
We'll never.
You know, cause we have that concept art.
Yeah. It's in the art book of Steven Yeun as Sentry.
So it's like, oh, like I'm not saying he wouldn't like, you know, bring his own thing to it, but then you have like Lewis Pullman's like, fair, like the way he portrayed like Bob, he was very like, what's the word, where he's very recluse.
Oh, recluse.
Recluse.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Like very black, very gray.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll never know, but
we'll never know.
I'm not saying Steven wouldn't kill it, but
yeah. It would have been different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can see it. I'm familiar enough with Steven's work that I can like imagine scenarios. Yeah. But yeah, to only a certain extent, like we will never know how he would have treated all three personalities. You know what I mean? We can have like an idea, but yeah, that doesn't detract from the fact that Lewis was great at this role. And I'm glad they found him too. Cause I mean, for a minute, it seemed like they were in trouble.
Yeah.
They were in trouble for a hot second.
Cause did they like also like cast him from, cause he had done
Top Gun,
right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know them, they love the Ed Boys. And so that's also why, like.
So, well, we can't get Glenn.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why the hype about Damon, is it Damon? For Black Panther.
Damon Idris, yeah.
Yes. And because, you know, he's F1 was pretty well received. So if they need somebody to step into that role, man, Damson.
Damson, sorry.
Damson Idris, yeah. And so, it's always one of those could have been, would have been, should have been in another universe, probably. Steven Yeun is.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
This century, but not this one. So the future of the character in the MCU, Jeff, what do you think?
I think he plays a big role.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever get him a solo movie, because actually I feel like They pretty much touched his backstory a lot in Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know what more you can do. And like, he's also kind of tied in with the Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's a Thunderbolts, you know?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
I just feel like you have to keep them together. You can't really have him. I mean, I think that's just mm-hmm. my opinion. Mm-hmm. And just in terms of the scope right now of in the landscape of the MCU.
Yeah. It's very curious because I'm like, as much as I love them, I'm like, half that team is going to die.
Yeah.
I'm like, half of them are going gonna die.
Yeah,
I'm pretty convinced. For some reason, I'm just very convinced that Alexi's gonna die.
Seb's gonna die.
And I feel.
Come on, die. Come on.
I mean, that's the rumor, right?
Come on.
A lot of people are saying that Bucky's gonna die.
Because like, Yelena can't die yet.
No, she can't.
She can't.
She absolutely
is
cannot.
The face.
She is. Yeah. Yes. There's just no way. Bucky has a very high death rate.
Mm-hmm.
But I
and he's gonna die in Sam's arms.
Sam?
Maybe.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Either way, right? It's got to be somebody. But I think Ghost is done after one or two appearances. Like, she's done. I think they're gonna kill her off at some point. But I don't know. But whether or not that, where does Bob go? That's the thing, right? It's
exactly.
Like, okay, if they die and Thunderbolts aren't Thunderbolts and they're not Avengers or whatever. Who's left on the team for him to be with, right? Like, who's going to keep him in check?
Yeah.
And if they follow the comic, then that means he's with Fantastic Four, or he's around Fantastic Four in the capacity of Fantastic Four, Iron Man. We don't have Iron Man.
Never say never.
Does he go to Doctor Doom? Because they've had some crossover too. He's going to need someone that can keep him in check, because they can't. They just can't. The Thunderbolts cannot. I don't care what they've said about Yelena and how, like, oh, there's a rumor he goes berserk because of something Yelena does. And it's like, no, I don't believe that necessarily. I think what happens is that Yelena does, in fact, become the person that keeps him in check.
Mm.
And she's not there to do it.
Mm.
And then he loses himself again. So whether that's because of Doctor Doom, we won't know till we know. But that's really ultimately the thing. I'm like, who can keep him in check?
That first Doomsday trailer is going to hit.
It's gonna be so crazy. I just hope they don't do it like they did Spider-Man. Spider-Man is great for Spider-Man, like the 4-second thing. But if they do that with Doomsday,
I doubt it. There's gonna be a whole different thing.
Oh no,
they're not gonna let anyone know. It's just gonna drop. Because I was jet lagged, I was awake at 6 a.m.
Oh, so you saw it when
I saw it.
I think it dropped at 4.
It dropped at 4. Pacific. So okay,
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
But I saw it. I was
like,
yeah. I was like, oh, 4 minutes ago. I was like, okay,
nice. Yeah. So let's see if we do the math, because it's March, April, May, June, July. 4 months until Spider-Man comes out. So if Doomsday is dropping in December,
I mean,
we should expect it in August.
We'll see it. Maybe we'll see something after the premiere of
it's very
Spider-Man.
Very yeah, especially
like,
if it's tight.
Like it'll go like a week,
mm-hmm.
and then
yeah. Especially if there's a stinger or something. Yeah, so it's... yeah, so I'm very curious who he's going to end up with, or is he going to just disappear and then, you know, they just leave it open and ended. You know, he does go to space. He goes galactic. So, like, when he takes off to regulate himself, he will quite literally be in the depths of space, just floating around Saturn to cool himself down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what he does. And so it's not unusual for this character to go outworldly, but yeah, I'm very intrigued what they're going to do with him.
I know.
Because they can't keep him with a street level crowd. They just can't.
I
mean, if they can, I'll be very impressed. But
no, he is.
He's
like
so
said,
much more.
I'll reread that Powers and Paraphernalia again.
Yeah,
that guy. No,
exactly.
that might be the thing I discuss in my social segment.
Yeah,
be like, this is ridiculous.
Every power under the sun, no pun intended, but
literally.
Yeah, we'll see what happens to good old Bob. But yeah, I feel like he's got some skin in the game for sure when it comes to Doomsday. Just to what extent, we will see. I think it is also very possible though that he might kill somebody. I think he might kill somebody.
It's very possible.
Yeah, and I think it could be one of his teammates, unfortunately. But we'll see, I guess. one of many, I think. I think he's going to take out a few people, but who knows. Do you think it's going to be rated R?
Doomsday?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's PG-13.
I don't think.
Yeah, they want the money.
The studio will not allow that.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to make their biggest movie right now rated R.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why, like Spider-Man, like, I mean, we saw it in the trailer, like, obviously Frank Castle can't cuss.
Yeah.
So they did it how? By flipping his mouth shut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, how do you include Frank Castle in a PG-13 movie?
Right.
And it's that.
It's that, exactly.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. And so when it comes to suggested reading, pretty easy across the board. Again, he's not that old of a character. He's not that new either. So he's got a nice little sweet spot of lore behind him. But definitely the 2000 Sentry Solo series. It's a great primer, and it's not too long. Again, Marvel Knights. So you're getting all the gore and the grit. 2004 is The New Avengers. So we didn't talk about this. It is not Thunderbolts. Although Thunderbolts, the film, is named The New Avengers. Not the same thing. So the comic title itself was a reimagining of the classic team with a remix of members and some crazy events, including the Skrulls. Mm-hmm. But Echo made an appearance as Ronin. Someone else was posing as Jessica Drew, the Skrull. And Sentry ripped Carnage in half at one point. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a pretty great title. I think I have, these are some of the comics I read as they came out. So I think I have up to like number 10 or 15.
Okay.
And they came out with these sick covers. Oh, so good. Spider-Man's there. Like, it's a great team.
Yeah, yeah.
2009's The Dark Avengers. Again, it's like I mentioned above, all the craziness. Lots of Norman Osborn doing bad things with superpowered people is nutso cuckoo. And as the Iron Patriot, get out of town. And then Doctor Strange, Loki, Sorcerer Supreme storyline. Those are issues 381 through 385. We didn't talk about Doctor Strange much at all, because it's just a lot.
Yeah.
But it is, this story in particular is an arc where Strange establishes the Sentry world that I mentioned with the confabulator thing. That's very boomer of me. Very, very interesting take. And this is also a time where Loki was Sorcerer Supreme. Wow. So they have had some crazy, crazy stuff go down. And an honorable mention for World War Hulk. And so aside the obvious battles that the two have, it does revisit the concept of Sentry's uniqueness, that he's able to quell the Hulk's rage because he has this like, it's not very focused on, but he has like a unique radiation that tempers Hulk.
Okay.
And it depowers him a bit, I guess. And so they have a lot of conflict, and they're also both individuals that have alter egos. Mm-hmm. So it makes for a compelling storyline. It's pretty great. And so all of that craziness aside and said, that is the end of the show. So thanks for listening. Next episode. So we're going to rewind forward this time. we rewound back to Thunderbolts. Now we're moving a little forward, and we're going to cover the one and only Galen of Taw himself.
Galactus.
How does he sound in First Steps?
Ah, dude, I can't go that. It's crazy. I can't go that deep. I cannot.
Galactus.
Yeah. So we're gonna cover the big guy in the next episode. So join us in a couple of weeks for that. As always, thank you to our Patreon supporters, and a special We Are Groot salute to Katie, Robin, Nats, Tyler, Sherry, Jenny, Chris, Andrew, Ashley, Andrea, Ed, Laura, Melanie, and Joe Liz. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. If you experienced ads during this episode, you can also unlock an ad-free version of the podcast by supporting us on Patreon. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bob, you hit me with that sign one more time.
I was on meth!
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.